Neighbor and say, I'm staying alive. We're in a series called Stay Planted, and the only way to stay alive is stay what? Planted. Let me say again, the only way to stay alive is to stay planted. Those who do not grow their roots deep are the ones who are ripped up every time the storms of life begin to come our way and blow our way. Those who have shallow roots, those people are uprooted very easy, and they're tossed around. They don't produce any life, but those who grow their roots deep, according to what Scripture says, are the ones who withstand every trial that comes their way. It may hurt. It may blow them around. You may lose some leaves or some hair along the process of the way, but you are not being moved. Instead, your roots are growing deep so that you can return with bigger leaves, bigger branches, and bigger fruit. How many want to be that kind of person? Today, I want to ask you this question. What's feeding you? What is feeding you? You've heard the statement before that it's okay if you can give someone a fish and you feed them for a what? For a day. You give someone a fish, you feed them for a day, but you teach them how to fish and you feed them for a what? Lifetime. There comes a time in your life today when you got to realize that it's all right to come and get fed once a week at church. We should do that. That's a part of the process of being planted. But the mature person begins to step up and learn how to feed themselves every day. Those are the people whose roots grow very deep. Let me just say this to you. If you do not learn to grow your roots deep, you're in trouble. So we got to learn to grow our roots deep. And let's get right into our theme today, our text. It's a scripture we've read before. Let's read it again today in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. Of course, we know this is the Scriptures. But his delight is found in the Scriptures, the law of the Lord. And his law, the Scriptures, he meditates when? Day and night? Come on, tell someone, I can only think about you on two occasions. That's day and night? Come on, that line worked for me in high school. It should work for me today. All right. I meditate on it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted. Everybody say planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a testimony. I want people to look at me and say, that person's roots are growing deep. They are delighting. They take pleasure and learning and meditating what God's word says, and because if I can look and see that they bear fruit in their life all the time, that they're a fruit-giving people. Today, we're learning this process. How many want to grow and become a wise person? Raise your hand. Say, I want to become a wise person. Not a wise guy, but a wise person. I want to learn to be a wise person. It should be something we all are striving to be. And if not, then you're an immature person. I want to strive to be a wise person. We all want to become wise. And how many know wisdom comes through the journey of life? We garner wisdom as we live our life. Now, today's message, let me say it to you. I believe it's one of the most important messages I've ever taught here at Destiny Church. I've taught along these lines before. This is not a new message today. I've tweaked it around and got some things I want to share with you. But it's a principle that I've shared before at Destiny because I believe it's the most important principle besides the salvation message that we as Christians can learn to apply to our life. I'm not talking about the deepest or the newest revelation, but I'm talking about the principle. Remember me talking about last week, the principles. When we put things into principle, it sets off a chain of reaction. When I follow the principles God has laid out for my life, it sets forth a chain of reaction in my life. I can't say, God, I want to receive the benefits of your word if I don't even know what the word of God says. God, I want to receive the promises of your word when I can't even tell you what those promises are. God, I want to see the promises of how this happens when I don't even apply what the Word of God says must happen before that happens in my life. The only way to grow in the wisdom many times in our life is through personal experience. And so, how many remember when you was a kid? We remember these times, yes. See, James says there's a wisdom that comes from two locations, one from up and one from down. There's a below wisdom. Basically, what he's saying is there's a street wisdom that comes from just the life of hard knocks. You make mistakes and you learn along the way. And he also says there's a wisdom also that comes from above. It's a heavenly wisdom. The one from above is a much easier way to learn. But we learn from both ways. Sometimes we just don't learn until we go through the hard things in our life. The first thing we learn is from personal experiences, right? We all learn from personal experiences. From the time we're young, we learn this experience. Now, when I was growing up, I watched a lot of cartoons. How many remember when you watched cartoons on Saturday mornings? Anybody here remember when cartoons were the time watching on Saturday morning? You couldn't get up for school. Your parents had to drag you out of bed. But come Saturday morning, you were up at 6 o'clock watching cartoons. And I love cartoons. I watched way too many of them growing up. And I believe that what happened on cartoons could actually happen in real life, right? And so I had friends that thought you could fly just by putting a cape around your neck. And I was much smarter than that. I knew better than to go up on top of the house and to jump off with a towel tied behind my back. I knew I wasn't going to fly. I was way too wise for that. But I did believe you could take an umbrella. And you could jump off with an umbrella, and it was like a parachute. You would just kind of float. Mary Poppins, right down the street. And so I remember taking my parents' umbrella and jumping off the house. My friend was next. And I jump off the house, and I go, oh! I'm laying on the ground with no air. That's what I was doing. Couldn't breathe. I'm like, I told my friends, do not try that. It doesn't work. It may work for the coyote, but it doesn't work for us. Don't try that. And so he learned by my mistake that don't jump off the house. It will hurt. How many want to thank God that I didn't live in a two-story home? I just want to thank God right now. We didn't have a two-story home right then. I'd have been crippled for life. All right, think about it. We learn from hard things. I learned don't touch the hot pan when I put my hand upon the stove. My parents said, don't touch that. It's hot. Okay, whatever. We learn through the pain, right? We learn painful things, and they cause us to grow in knowledge. See, this is the problem we have in our life. We all grow from personal pain and experience in our life. But the problem is this, that we don't have enough time in our life to grow only from personal experience. If you only grow from personal experience, by the time you get enough wisdom to navigate correctly in your life, you're too old to enjoy it. It's too late to be of any benefit. You spend all your life thinking, man, how many people have we talked to when they've gotten to the last few years of their life and say, man, I wish I had known this at an earlier age. I wish I had known the pain I would have caused if I would change this. I wish I would change my lifestyle. I wish I would have changed my communication. I wish I would have changed my priorities. I wish I would have changed all these things. And it comes through personal experience. But the problem is we do not have enough time. So there's a second way we can learn to grow in wisdom, and that's through other people's experiences. But first of all, let me give you this scripture. Psalms 119, look what it says in 119. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Afflicted means what? Pain. Before I felt pain, I went my own way, is what it's saying. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. He's saying, it was good that I felt the pain because it brought me back into the right place of getting into your word. How many know that pain drives us to make right decisions? For many of us here, we don't go to the doctor until we have pain. We don't go see the dentist until we have enough pain. it takes us to make healthy steps in getting better. For many of us, the sad thing is we don't get into church the way we should until we have pain. We have something going on in our life, an emotional, spiritual pain happening, and we come back to God and we try to get plugged in. But as soon as that pain leaves, then we can drift out of the place God is wanting to plant us. And so the mature person says, no, I've got to learn to be planted 24/7. And so I learn through my own pain, or I can learn through other people's experiences. We learn through other people's experience. Now, one is growing in knowledge. I grow in knowledge through my own experiences, but I grow in wisdom through other people's experiences. This is very true. Look what Proverbs says in 22, verse 3. The prudent man, or the prudent person, this is talking about the wise, they see danger and they take refuge. But the simple person, let's just say how it is, the person that ain't that smart, keeps going and pays the penalty. What's he saying? He says the person who is wise sees danger coming and they change their environment to get plugged into a safe environment so they can avoid the pain that's headed their way. But the foolish person, they pay no attention to the warnings and they just go their own way and they face the consequences. You see, I can learn from other people's experiences. Personal experiences let me grow in knowledge, but other people's experiences let me grow in wisdom. When I learn from other people's experiences, I will have a wisdom that is what? Beyond my years. If I can learn from your experiences, if I can learn from other people's experience without having to go through that pain, I grow in wisdom that's beyond my years. What's that mean? That means that you didn't have to suffer all this pain to learn this lesson. You learned it by watching your parents. You learned it by watching a coworker. You learned it by watching an uncle. You learned it by watching somebody else. If I do this, it's going to relate to this. If I get addicted to this, it's going to bring me a lot more pain than I want. If I go over here and cheat outside my marriage, it's going to cost me my children and family. I don't want to give up. I can learn from other people's experiences. I don't have to make that same mistake. I can learn to grow from your experiences, and you can learn to grow from mine. How many has ever learned a hard lesson in life the hard way? Raise your hand if you ever learned a lesson in life. Yeah, we all have, right? Keep them raised a second. Keep your hands raised if you ever learned a lesson the hard way. Just think about it. If I could take one lesson from every one of you today that you've learned the hard way, and I could put that in my heart, take one lesson from each one of you here and put that in my heart, how much wisdom would I have today? How much more advanced in wisdom would I be today? I would grow tremendously. I wouldn't have to experience some of the pain you've had to learn that lesson the hard way. The same thing, when I learn to grow in wisdom from other people's story, I can save myself some of the pain and losses that come and learn that lesson ahead of time and hopefully avoid some of those situations. And instead, I begin to become a wise person, and people look at you and say, that's a wise person right there. They may be young, but they're wise. They know a lot more than what their age shows. Why? Because they've learned to learn from other people. This is why we have ministries such as Titus 2, ladies, where we can have people with experience, ladies with experience, mentor other ladies who are needing some help in other areas of their life. This is why we had this class, the men's class, our Body for God. I tell you what, if you missed that, that was some of the best practical advice we've ever had. Some of our guys coming in, some of our guys in life begin to talk about practical issues, about how to get a job, about how to advance on your job, about how to treat your wife, about how to do things successfully. That people who came to that class, they got 15, 20 years of accelerated knowledge just by listening to those guys who had this knowledge share. That's why it's important when we come together that we learn to learn from each other. Let me tell you, this is why life groups are so important. Because when we get together, we come together and we share life's experiences and we talk about messages and say, you know what? I have been right there. I know exactly what Pastor Gene was talking about. And as you share your life experience, hopefully somebody there is learning from you and they can grow in wisdom without having to experience that same pain that you felt going there. We grow in wisdom by learning from other people. Early on in ministry, I read a book that really changed my view of leadership. It was a book that came out by John Maxwell called The 21 Laws of Leadership. And it was a bestseller for many years. And he was a successful pastor and later on has gone on to lead even in the business world and leadership. And his view of leadership and his laws of leadership are so good. It changed my whole leadership principle. It changed. I began to change the way I was doing leadership, restructured my leadership, and my youth ministry went from just a few handful of students to several hundred students, and I had a big intern staff, and we had grown in leadership. Why? Because I began to change the way I was doing leadership. It's carried over to Destiny Church. I now use those principles even in leadership development here and how we do leadership here in Destiny Church. That book saved me. I will guarantee you that book has saved me 20 years of ministry experience. Just reading that book, it advanced me 20 years when I took that wisdom in and began to apply it to my leadership. Now, how many know you can buy that book for $15 today? You can go to about any bookstore and you can find that book for $15. But knowing what I know now, I would have gladly paid $10,000 for that book and read it back then, knowing what I know now. That's how valuable that information is to me today, because it saved me 20 years of growing in wisdom. What if we had a whole library full of those books? Can you believe that? What if I had a whole library full of books of people's personal experience that would cause and save me room, save me pain, that can advance me, that can bring me wisdom without having to experience and be slowed down, but I can skip and grow 20 years in my own personal experience by reading these. How many think that would be a very valuable library, right? Well, we have that library. It's called the Word of God. And it's not just one book. It's a Biblios, which means a book of books, a biography of books. 66 books we've been given with spiritual insight, personal experience that we can walk and talk with people who have walked and talked with the Lord. And when I learn to open up the book and let it come alive in my life, I can grow in wisdom way beyond my years. I can stop being fed just once a week, and I can learn to eat every day. Now, some of you grew up in churches where they told you, you can't understand this. Only the chosen can interpret the scripture for you. Only God's high priest or only God's servant. Let me tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, that's hogwash. That's a lie from people who want to intimidate you on opening up the scripture. You need to know. Yes, Pastor Gene's going to teach you, but they tell you there's a lot of false teaching out there, and you'll never know the difference if you don't know the word for yourself. And it's not enough just to get it on Sunday. You got to learn to begin to feed yourself. I've got a library full of personal experience. I can open up and walk with Moses and see how Moses struggled in the desert with stubborn people. I can relate to what Moses must have felt like when he walked across the dry ground and the seas parted right before his eyes. I can imagine what Elisha felt and what Elijah felt when fire came down from heaven and lit the altars on fire in front of all the false idols and gods. I can imagine what Esther went through when she was trying to save her people from extinction. I can go through, and I can walk through Jonas's footsteps. I can see King David and Solomon and Ruth. I can walk in Job's pain and see everything he lost. I can see what Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John had to say about the first account's hand of Jesus Christ. I can learn what Paul had to say in his missionary journeys when he said, I was a prisoner of the Lord, and what it meant to be locked up as a martyr, what it meant to be put in prison because of your faith, what it meant to praise God in the middle of a prison and the prison walls come shaking and tumbling down. Oh, I can study from Timothy, John. I can study all these books and see all these stories that God has given me for this word to come alive in my life. I can walk in these steps. Look what Psalms 119 says. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers. Have you ever felt that way before? Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. This is why he's saying this. He's saying, I have more understanding than even my teachers. Why? Because I'm always meditating on the word of the Lord. I am even wiser than my elders.
How can you be wise if you're young, younger than the elders? Because why? I've kept your commands. He's saying, I have studied your scripture. I've allowed the scripture to come in my heart. It has made me wise beyond my years. This is how we grow, and it's there for us to grow in and to experience. But the excuse we all have is this. Pastor, you're telling me I need to read my Bible. Blah, 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 blah. I've heard it before. And let me tell you it again. It's the most practical, the most important spiritual principle other than your salvation that every Christian needs to learn to do. But yet, it's one of the last things that many of us learn to do in our life. We like to be spoon-fed, right? You just feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, that's cute when you got dirty diapers. That's cute when you're in the cradle. It's cute when you're learning to walk, and it's cute when you're in preschool fixing your favorite dish. It's fun when you're elementary fixing what you like to eat. But how many know when kids start getting a little older, start getting to be teenagers, start having a family of their own, they come home and like, open up! Choo-choo! Here comes the train. Choo-choo! Here's, open up, eat your mashed potatoes. Yeah. Mom, my family's here. It's kind of weird. But for some of us spiritually, that's the way it is. We haven't grown. Let me tell you this. I'm working on a new series right now. I can't wait to share with you because we're going to talk about this very principle about growing in wisdom. I have one series I'm working on right now called Growing in Wisdom. We're going to do it real soon. It's called Growing in Wisdom. We're going to look at the whole book of Proverbs and how God says we are to grow in wisdom. And part of that growing in wisdom is by, first of all, learning to understand and read His Word. Working on another series called I'm Too Old for That. That's going to be good. We're going to get into growing up in God. But listen, we got to learn to feed ourselves and what it means to feed ourselves. You know, it can only happen one way, and that's when you get yourself planted in the house of the Lord and then begin to plant yourself daily in the Word of the Lord. But Pastor, I'm just too busy. Isn't that our excuse? I'm just too busy. And let me give you an insight, spiritual insight. This is great. We're all busy. Everybody I know is busy. We're not slowing down, right? Society's speeding up. Our schedules are picking up. Unless you're in that emptiness syndrome in life, you're going to be busy, okay? You're going to be really busy. And so let me give you some insight today. I made this statement. I think it relates to all of us today and hits us all right between the eyes. Let's look at this statement today that's going to slap us upside the head. Okay. We always find time for the things we see as important and enjoyable. Let me say it again. Thank you for that one amen, honey. We always find time for the things we see as important and enjoyable. How many times, guys, think about it, guys, how many times we said, man, I've had the roughest week of my life. I've worked overtime this week. They had me doing stuff I hadn't done since I first started the job. And man, I'm working, and I'm stressed. I've had from meeting to meeting, from job to job. I am stressed to the max. Honey, I know you've got yard work you want me to do. And I know you got a list of honeydews you want me to do this on Saturday. But this Saturday, I'm not doing a thing. I'm just going to chill out. I'm not going to lift a finger or do anything. I just got to have rest, honey. Look at me. I'm shaking. Ever been there? Come on, raise your hand. You ever been there, had those days? Okay. All right, we've all been there. I can't do another. I don't care what you ask me. I can't do another thing. And your friend texts you or calls you on Friday night and says, hey, man, we had someone drop out of our scramble. We need a fourth man for the golf team. Can you play? Yeah! Well, you got to be there like at 5:30 to have breakfast. And then go, okay, I'll be there. It's a miracle. All of a sudden, we're energized, you know? Yes! Can't wait to get my tee time. Yeah, got there and cleaning those clubs off, man. You're polishing up your swing. You're looking good. You're up all night. You're dreaming about playing golf. What happened? Something changed, you know? Oh, Pastor, I don't like to play golf. Well, your buddy calls you to go fishing. The fish are biting. We got to get out there early. All right, pick me up, man. I'll be ready. You're up making breakfast and everything. You're whistling. People are like, who is that man in the kitchen? I'm going fishing. Come on, ladies. Is that true, ladies? Come on. Is that true? All right. Now, ladies, let's talk about you. Okay. Honey, I've had a hard week. I've been working, taking care of the kids, cleaning the house. I've been cooking. I've had it up to here. I can't do another thing. I know Saturday's our day to get, but you're going to have to do it all. The kids are going to have to clean up the house. You're going to have to chip in. I've had it up to here. This mom is tired, worn out. I can't do a thing. I'll be lucky to crawl out of bed and eat. Can you just call in room service, please? Bring it to me. I can't get out of bed. Ladies, you ever had those days, right? What happens? Your sister calls you and says, they're having a sale at the mall. It's a miracle. Rise and be healed. Hallelujah. You walk out. Y'all get to feeling the passion. All of a sudden, no, it's not. Listen, we always make time for the things that we see as important and enjoyable. That's what I've noticed. If it's a priority, we always find time for it. I don't have time to exercise. If you have it, it's a priority, you'll make time to exercise. It doesn't make a difference. Right? Am I telling the truth? If you want to exercise, you will make time to exercise. It happens. So, if we're going to spend time in devotion with God, we got to learn to choose life priorities biblically. This is a big issue in our life. We must learn to choose life priorities biblically. It's the only way I can be productive. I made a list of some of my priorities. It's a sample list for you to look at. I put that the first thing in my life that's the most important is me growing in my relationship with God. That's a priority in my life. I've got to keep it number one. I know this. It's a priority. I know my relationship with my wife. I got to make sure it's healthy because I know Satan would love to attack our marriage, especially as pastors. So I know that we got to keep our relationship fresh. We got to spend time together. I know that Satan would love to attack my children. And so I'm going to do everything I can to be the best father I can. I'm not perfect. But I try to make a priority to spend ample time with my children and spend time in their world and spend time getting to know them. I believe that staying physically fit so I can become a better leader. That's important to me. So I do the best I can about trying to get in and get to the gym and get fit so I can become the leader and stay in and have the energy that it takes to be the leader God's calling me to be. These are some of the priorities, and these things all fall in line with what the Word of God talks about for our life. And so I know these are biblical priorities. And they're in right perspective. So how do I learn to do these things and be effective in keeping them a priority in my life? Well, I've learned a trick a long time ago, and some of you are going to grow in wisdom today just by learning this one trick. You take something you enjoy, and you mix it in with your priorities, right? Because we do the things we enjoy. And so if I have a list of priorities, and I know what those priorities are, then I take things I enjoy, and I mix them in those priorities, such as I had a hard time getting back to the gym. I've been off for a long time. And so when I wanted to get back in shape, the thought of going down and getting on that treadmill or going down and getting on that elliptical and spending a long time, it just wore me out mentally thinking about that. You ever been there? I was defeated before I ever went. Cause I'm like, my body's going to be hurting. I'm going to be out of shape. I don't want to do this. And so I chose a gym that had TVs monitored right on top of their stations. So my treadmill and my elliptical has TVs, and they have ESPN on those TVs. I love to watch sports. I love to watch highlights. So I would go down and I would put the TV on Sports Center, and I would watch, or I'd watch the game, and I would pick a time when that was happening because I put my earphones in. I'm watching the game. My mind is being occupied by the game. So my body's not getting saying, go home, quit, go home. But instead, I'm enjoying. No, I got to watch the end of this game. I got to see the rest of these highlights. Just one more commercial. You ever been there? I tricked myself by doing something I enjoy. I took something I enjoy and I mixed it up. Now that I'm in better shape, I like to listen to other things. I have my iPod full of teachings and other ministries that I can listen to. And so while I'm working out, what I would normally do at my desk, now I go do while I'm working out, and I'm listening and feeding myself from other preachers and other teachers. I'm listening to this podcast, trying to learn from my own mistakes and see where I messed up. Things I would normally do to sit behind the desk, I'm doing that while I'm working out. Why? Because I'm mixing something I enjoy doing with something I don't enjoy doing, and it makes it a priority. Spending time with my children. We love to go to movies. We love to travel. We love to do things. We love to go on outings. We love to play sports. We love to do things together. And so we take things that are fun to do. I like an excuse to play a video game once in a while. And so I play video games with my kids, or we go see a movie, or we go do things they like to do, and we do things that are fun together so that we spend time together. Same with my wife. We love to go eat lunch together as much as possible. And when, you know, I have an opening, I'll try to take her with me, or I go with me to eat. When the kids are in school, we can go meet up for lunch. Why? Because that's something we enjoy doing. Look at me. I enjoy eating. Just like you. So we go, we eat together, and we do things together that are enjoyable. We love to travel. And so we try to travel together, take road trips together, do things that we look forward to, and we intermix that into our relationship so that we're doing things we enjoy while spending time together so that we look forward to those times. So how does that relate to my devotions with God, getting to His Word? Well, you got to set a setting that's going to be enjoyable for you. Well, Pastor, you're talking about reading God's Word every day. And I get up in the morning and my kids are going crazy. I'm not even if you're not a morning person, first of all, don't try to read God's Word in the morning when you get up. You're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to get anything out of it. It's not a spiritual duty that you're just trying to accomplish to get your checklist off. It needs to be in a set time that you enjoy. Now, for some of you here, you love the morning. You don't mind getting up before everybody else does, and getting your coffee right there. And you love having your notepad out and your Bible spread open, your pens ready and everything that there, and you're ready to go. I love putting on praise and worship. I got worship sets. I make my own playlist. When I was dating my wife, I made a playlist. You know what I'm saying? I had those mixtapes. Somebody had a mixtape growing up, okay? I was thinking about you and made this tape, baby. Our kids are like, mixtapes, what's that? These things, never mind. Anyway, so I have mixtapes. I use even mixtapes now. I make a whole playlist now. We call them playlists. I make a playlist of songs that I enjoy listening to so that when I'm in the presence of the Lord and I'm reading in a light background, I have soft worship going on that really just pushes me. It seems like I'm at the throne of God. I have some coffee going there that I brewed in my K-cup, you know, I like those things. And, oh, and it's just, I do it at a time when kids are probably in bed and the house is quiet and I can focus in. I'm not talking about studying for preaching. I'm talking about my own personal time to really just say, God, I just want to spend some time with you tonight. That's good. See, I got to do it, mix it with things that I enjoy doing and pick a time that I really enjoy doing so I can be effective. Luke 10, look what it says in Luke 10. I love this story. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Verse 38, we're reading from Luke chapter 10. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She said she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. Isn't that a good place to be, at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say? But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me here to do all this work by myself? Please tell her to get up and help me. And look what Jesus' response was. Martha, Martha, Martha. I told you I watched too much TV growing up. Martha, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed. He said, matter of fact, even one thing is the most important. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What does she choose to do? She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear his voice, to hear his teachings. So there was a lot of things that needed to be done, but she chose the thing that was best. And Jesus says she has chosen well. She's chosen the thing that's good to be done. You see, living a life without regrets requires a daily time at the feet of Jesus. Living without regrets requires a daily time at his feet. It's just such an important principle to learn right now. I've got to learn to spend time daily in the presence of God. How many know that great athletes all do the same thing, don't they? All great athletes, they have certain routines they get into. Great basketball players, do they just show up at the gym and say, I'm naturally gifted and I'm just going to play this game? No. The best basketball players, they practice all through in practice, and when practice is over, they're staying, and they're doing the same thing. They're shooting free throws, or they're shooting three-pointers, and they're going to say, I'm going to hit so many before I leave this gym. And they're practicing, and they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again every day. Why? Because great athletes have learned that it's the fundamentals. If they will do the fundamentals every single day, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. You getting this, Lane? Day in, day out. Shoot those free throws, boy. Shooting day in, day out. That way, when they get to the game, their mind's not thinking about the fundamentals. It just happens. The fundamentals happen, and they can concentrate on the scheme. They can concentrate on what's being thrown at them. Great musicians have done the same thing. We see this principle in great musicians as well. Great musicians have learned. You know what great classical musicians really do every day? They do the same thing every day. You know what it is? They play what, Chuck? What do they play? Scales. They play scales every day. You know what scales are? Dun 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 dun. They go all the way up and down the keyboard or whatever they're playing, and they practice the scales every day. I mean, not just a couple of times. We're talking about hours worth of scales. Do you know why they play scales every day? So that when they get in front of a concert hall and hundreds and thousands of people are there listening to them, they get up and they go, no, 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 they don't stop playing scales then, do they? No. They play that Bach piece that's been in front of them, and they look at that paper and go, whoa, look at all them dots. They're really close together. But because they've been doing their scales, their fingers can twist and maneuver, and they can play those complex classical pieces because they've been practicing their scales, and their fingers and hands are limbered up, and they can do things that you could never dream of doing because they do the scales every day. You see, devotions for a Christian is like scales to a musician. It's the fundamentals that we do every day. Our devotions with God every day help us so that when we get that big assignment in front of us, we don't look and say, look at all them dots. I can never play this. No, but when you do your scales every day and you're doing your devotions every day, when God puts an assignment in front of you, you go, yeah. Hey, I remember when God helped David, and I remember when God helped Elisha, and I remember when God helped Moses, and I remember when God helped Esther with her assignment. Yeah, God, you're giving me an assignment. We can do this. Because your word has already equipped me with the faith that I know that you're going to back me up and you're going to help me complete this assignment. It keeps me from being intimidated by the assignment God has given me. It was the great classical musician, Paderewski, who said this. He says, I play my scales 3 hours a day. He goes, if I miss playing my scales even one day, he says, I know it. And I play in front of people. He goes, I can tell. Nobody else can tell, but I can tell there's a difference. He goes, if I skip 2 days of playing my scales, he goes, not only do I know it, but my coach can tell I've been skipping playing my scales. And he goes, if I miss 3 days of playing my scales when I sit in front of an audience, I know it, my coach knows it, and the world knows it that I haven't been playing my scales. When we skip our devotion time with God, oh, you may miss it once in a while, and you know the difference. We know that. I know the difference in my spirit. And when I skip too long, those closest to you, they know as well. But when I let it go on longer, the world can see my devotion is not where it needs to be with God. All of us. All of us. So we learn to feed ourselves with the word of the Lord. So I want to teach you how to do this. Very practical. Let me give you some things here. Write these down. And this is really deep today. But you're going to get something out of this. Five things to bring to your devotions. You ready? Number one, bring your Bible. That's a hard one, wasn't it? Okay, bring your Bible. You say, Pastor, why'd you say bring your Bible? Because right now there's a lot of people who do devotions by reading another book that somebody else has wrote. And there's nothing wrong with Christian authors and Christian books. I read those as well. But you've got to learn to open up the Word of God for yourself and read it for yourself. This is where it comes alive in your heart. You got to learn to bring the Bible, not just a book, and open up the Word of God and let it jump out to you. 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is inspired by God for the teaching, the correcting, the rebuking of all of us so that we learn to grow from the Scripture itself. So I can't grow if I don't bring the Bible and open it up. Number two, bring a pen. I told you, it's really, really deep. Bring a pen. You say, why should I bring a pen? Because you need to learn to mark in your Bible. You need to learn to underline. When you read something that you say, oh, that's really good, circle that verse. Underline it. Saying, I'm coming into agreement with that. Pastor, I can't mark in my Bible. This Bible is holy. This is God's Word. I can't mark in my Bible. I got to use it to scare off the boogeyman. Get out of my house right now. Look at the Bible. I'm opening it up to the letters in red. They're on my coffee table, and they're opened up right to there. Devil, you're not welcome to this home. The Word of God is protecting everything. And so my Bible's got to be on my coffee table collecting dust because it's guarding off all the evil spirits in my home. I got some news for you. Without you reading this Bible and it coming alive in your heart, it's just ink on pages. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but what I'm saying is the Word of God was meant to be read, to be put into your heart, that it can come alive, and that's when it comes alive in God's hands to be used. He says the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It was once written right here, and when I read it and I speak it out, it becomes a twice-spoken word, a two-edged sword, as a weapon in my hands for God to use. So I've got to bring the Bible. I've got to open it up. I've got to mark in it and say, yes, that is speaking to me today, this day. Mark it down. I remember when God, you underlined this verse and said, this is exactly what I need today. So do you have it right there? Bring your pen. Bring a reading plan. Listen, you got to have a plan. It's all right once in a while to open up your Bible without a plan. But if you want to get somewhere, you need to have a reading plan. So listen, there's so many good resources now we have at our fingertips. All you got to do is Google Bible reading plans, and you'll have all kinds of choices you can pick from beginner to advanced to chronological order of the Bible or New Testament, Old Testament. You can go through and study the Bible in so many different ways, and there's so many good plans out there, but you need to have a plan, okay? Have a plan. This is how I'm going to read the Bible. Bring that with you. Have a plan. Number four, bring a journal. You need a journal, a notebook or something. Who makes the best grades in class are those who do what? Take notes, right? Those who take notes do the best at passing their tests because we're all going to have a test, right? We all have tests in life, and those who do best on the test are those who take notes. So bring your journal. Write down what God is showing you. And the real important thing is number five, bring a planner or a piece of paper or something that when you sit down to read God's Word, this is what's going to happen. You're going to say, all right, I got my music going, got my coffee, kids are asleep. Oh, yes. Finally, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. It's going to come. And what's your brain going to do? Don't forget, you got to bring snacks tomorrow to school for your kid. All right, got to bring snacks. Don't forget to bring snacks tomorrow. All right, God, what's your word say? Okay, God, yeah. Oh, don't forget, you got lunch money. Don't forget to send lunch money with your kids to school tomorrow. You got snacks and also you got lunch money. My kid's not going to get lunch. Okay, snacks, lunch money. All right. Don't forget, you got to get to find a ride home for your child tomorrow because you got a doctor's appointment and you can't maybe not be there. All right, ride, snacks. What was that thought? Oh, yeah, lunch money. Ride, snacks, lunch money. Ride. And you're trying to read God's Word and your mind is getting filled up with all distractions. So if you have a piece of paper there, every time something comes to your mind, you can just take it and go, and put it right down there on the paper. Take it out of your mind, free your mind up because your mind's going to be full of distractions. I guarantee it's going to happen. Your mind will get full of distractions when you're trying to read God's Word. And so these are, I know, very practical ways that you can learn to do this. We got something in the back here that I want to make available to you. It's a journal. I think I caught one here. This is a journal for those who are interested. You don't have to buy this, but if you want to buy this, you're more than welcome. It's just a tool for you to use in the back. This is a first steps and it's got a Bible reading plan. If you follow this Bible reading plan in this book, it'll take you through the New Testament in 1 year. And also, it gives you a plan in there, how to study the Bible. It gives you the SOAP plan. Why don't you bring up that word SOAP there? You read your scripture today. You read a couple of scriptures, and then you pick out the one that meant the most to you, and you write it down. All right, Matthew 12:11 meant the most to me. What's an observation? I observed this observation about the scripture. This is what I observed about this. God healed the blind man in this scripture. What's the application? God, if you can heal their eyes, you can heal my spiritual eyes who's having a hard time seeing you right now. What's the prayer? God, I write out, God, I pray that I can see you every day. I pray that I can see you in the middle of my storm. God, I can pray that I can, and you just write that out. And then you've got that all listed there in your book. And so when you get on 6 months down the road, you look back and you've got a whole book you have written of devotions, and something's going to come up, say, you know what? Someone say, I was really having a hard time seeing God. You go, oh, I remember this. 6 months ago, I did the same thing. Let me go back and tell you what I said. Let me find it. Oh, here it is, right here. Here's a scripture that goes along with it. This is the prayer I made. This is the observation. And you can share out of that what God is sharing with you. It's a very powerful tool. I've got them for adults. We also got teenage versions and children's versions. These are $10 a piece, just what they cost us. We can pass them on to you. And it's a very good tool. But you don't have to have that to do your devotions. But it's a tool for those who want something to help you. How many know if I went down today and signed up for a class at the local community college and said, you know what? There's a master teacher down there he's giving guitar lessons, and I want to play guitar. And so I go down there and start playing guitar, and I'm in the class, and we only can go as far as the slowest person in the class can go, right? When you're in a class like that, you can only go as fast as the person who's the slowest person in the class. And so the teacher comes to me and says, hey, I'm a master teacher, and I see you've got some potential. This class is moving way too slow for you. How about you and I, instead of meeting once a week, how about you and I meet every day? I'll meet with you for 30 minutes every day, and I'll teach you what I know. And so I start going to that class, and all of a sudden, man, I'm playing classical. My hands are just screaming up and down that guitar. I'm playing, and all of a sudden you hear me play and go, hey, Pastor Gene, where'd you learn to play guitar like that? And I say to you, I learned that at the local community college. You would say, no, 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 no. You didn't learn to play like that at the community college. You learned to play like that from somebody else. You had to learn from a master teacher. You see, when we learn to sit at the feet of our master every day, people will take notice. No, you didn't just learn that because you attend Destiny Church once a week. No, you've got more insight in that. You're growing in your wisdom because you've learned to sit at the feet of the master every day. No. Destiny's a great church, and it's a lot of great teaching, but you're growing faster than that. You've gotten a higher skill level than that. What is it? You've learned to sit at the master's feet every day. I want to give you this video. I got two videos I want to show you. Both of them are really short here. The first video today I want to show you is a remote tribe in the African jungle who had never heard the gospel before. And so this missionary is there, they're videotaping. He's sharing with them the gospel message that Jesus Christ came to forgive their sins. And if they would accept Jesus Christ, their sins could be forgiven. Look at their response. They've never heard the gospel before.
Different ones giving darkening down this video, though. To their belief lights. In Christ is their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itau, it's good, it's true.
They're just hearing the gospel for the first time. Their sins can be forgiven. Look at the rejoicing they do.
2.5 hours.
I think TJ's leading worship there. Look at that. They're just going crazy. They rejoice like this. The video says they go on for almost 3 hours jumping up and down when they heard the gospel for the first time. The thing that you and I can read about every day, anytime we want to. Some people have never had a chance to hear it, but yet we don't take the value in it. I want you to look at another short video here of the people in China receiving Bibles for the first time. The things that you and I have in our house. And look at their reaction when they receive Bibles for the first time. Look at them crying. See how they cry and how they hug the Bibles, and kissing the Bibles. I want you to notice it's something that they, many people in the world, do not have the gift of the Word of God available to them. And look how much they were in love with this. It's just a chance to hold a Bible. Just a chance to read the Bible for themselves. How many of us have these Bibles laying around our house, stuck in drawers, under beds, in the floorboard of a car, stuffed in a basket somewhere that we haven't picked up and read in months, some people even years, that people are willing to die for just to have a chance to hold one? And you and I don't see the value. Now, I pray that God begins to open up our eyes, seeing the value of the Word of the Lord that we've been given, the freedom to read the Word of the Lord, that God's Word can come alive in our heart and change us. I'm asking you to join me, those who will, in a 30-day challenge. You guys like it when I challenge you, so I'm going to challenge you. For the next 30 days, starting tomorrow, those people who will, to read one chapter a day for 30 days. And see at the end of that 30 days, your outlook doesn't look different. If your days aren't going smoother, if you're not hearing the voice of God for even more clear than you've ever heard before in your life. Give it 30 days. If that's not true, then don't read it anymore. But I'm praying that, and I know what happened, that when you begin to read the Word of God, I'm not talking about reading hours a day. One chapter. You can read one chapter in just a few minutes. It doesn't take a long time. But you're reading that one chapter. If you have time, then you journal with it and say, this is the verse that stood out to me today, God. I want this verse to come alive in my life. One chapter a day for 30 days and see if it won't change your life. See if it won't help you grow your roots deeper. If you want to take that 30-day challenge, can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll take that 30-day challenge. Yeah. This is going to be awesome. Let's see what God does as we take a 30-day challenge to get planted in the Word of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. As the musicians are coming today, if you want to join us today as we close out with this song, it says, Let It Rain. I love this song. Open up the heavens. It's just what happens when we open up the Scripture. We begin to pray that God can open up heavens and He can let rain from heaven come down on us. When we begin to study His Word, read His Word. Thank you guys for scooting in, making room for those coming in the back. Are you ready? Let's make it personal today as we sing to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready to make it rain. God, you would give us a love and a hunger for your word that we've never experienced before. Father, I pray right now that God, you would grow our roots deep. And Father, we will begin to study your word. We'll spend that time with you, what you've asked us to. And God, we'll grow our roots deep. And God, I pray as they open up the word of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will begin to take things and interpret it to the Spirit and their mind. And things will jump out of them. Revelation of your word will come clear to them. And God, you will give them new insight, new challenge, new growth, because they're learning to plant themselves deep in the word of the Lord. And Father, we say yes to your word. Forgive us, God, of neglecting the very thing, the roadmap you've given us, the life instructions you've given us. God, forgive us of neglecting the very precious book that you have given us, God. Forgive us for leaving it in a shelf somewhere. Forgive us for leaving it in the bottom of our car. But God, help us to raise it up, Lord, in value and realize that when I open this up, that I'm spending time at the very thoughts and inspiration that comes from my Savior, from my God. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit open up and give our heart a new love for the Word that we never experienced before as we say yes to be implanted in the Word of the Lord. And we say yes today, God. Yes to your Word. And we fall in love with you all over again as we read the words of our Savior, as we read the accounts of how God moved. And Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to your Word. And we say change us. From the inside out, God, change us. May you open up the heavens. And we say together, amen. If you believe that, put your hands together and say, yes, God. May the word come alive in my life. Remember, as you leave today, if you want to pick up one of those journals, you can do it back there in the Welcome Center. If you want to sign up for the marriage retreat as well back there. God bless you. Have a great week.